This story was told to me by my grandfather. This story has stuck with me for many years, even though my grandfather passed away many, many years ago now. He didn't like talking about it, and often tried to change the subject when this was brought up. However, it's always stuck with me. My granddad was a pilot in World War II. He's from England. However, after the war, he moved to Norway, which is where a lot of my family live now. When he was growing up, pre-war, he lived in a very small community. He said that everyone helped everybody, and it was one of those towns where everyone knew each other. Because times were hard, sometimes he used to go into the local fields and take cabbages and potatoes and bring them back for his mum to cook. This wasn't a wealthy area, and no one had much money. He said sometimes he'd have to go a little bit further out because all the other kids in the area were doing the same thing. This one time, he described walking a little bit further out. Whilst he was looking for potatoes and whatever he could find, he stumbled into a field that he hadn't seen before. When he got there, he was walking around just looking at the ground, not really looking where he was going. He looked up and probably 30 feet away, he saw this man walking with a weird gait towards him. He said the man was dressed in all black, with a big black trench coat on, almost like an undertaker's coat. He said the man had a hat on too, and he couldn't make out any facial features. However, he said when he had a closer look at the man's face, he couldn't make out any features, and it looked as though the man didn't even have a face. The man was walking towards him with intent, in a malicious kind of way, so my grandfather turned around and ran away. He said the man didn't appear to have a face or facial features, but potentially could have been wounded in World War I, so he wasn't too sure if this was just a wound. Anyway, many months later, my grandfather and his friends decided that they were going to go fishing. So after school, they all went home and told their parents where they were going. My grandfather went home and told his mum that he was going to the lake and that he'd be back later on. He didn't give a specific time. He went out, and he knew he was going to be there a little bit earlier than his friends, so he decided just to set up and get everything ready. As he was walking towards the lake, he saw a man standing over the direction where he was headed, right next to their fishing spot. As he started getting closer, the man's body stayed still, but his head slowly turned towards him, looking directly at my grandfather. It was evident that this was the same man from before, and the impending sense of doom took over my grandfather. The man still didn't seem to have any features, but he was just far enough away that he couldn't fully make out if this was right or not. However, he said that he could make out an intense and eerie grin on the man's face. The man didn't appear to move, however, my grandfather didn't take any chances. He ran back all the way home and told his mum what happened. She didn't believe him and thought that it was just his mind playing tricks on him when she said he'd seen the same man before, but was also a little bit wary and maybe trying to make him feel better. She told him not to go out that day. The next day at school, my grandfather asked his friends if they'd seen the weird man, to which they replied they hadn't. My grandfather was confused as to why his friends hadn't seen this man standing in the exact spot they were going to. However, he quickly forgot about this and got on with his life. A few years later, my grandfather decided that he was going to go back out to the fields and try and find some more potatoes. He was searching the fields and didn't see a thing. Clearly someone else had got there before him, or it just wasn't the season for them. Regardless, he was disappointed and started heading home. It was dark at this point, and all of a sudden, it started raining. Typical, he thought to himself, as he walked down the muddy path. All of a sudden, there was a huge flash of lightning, and very quickly, only for a split second, it illuminated a figure maybe 15 feet away from him again. My grandfather stopped and decided that he wasn't going to go any further until he decided that this was a safe situation to be in. Again, another flash of lightning, maybe 30 seconds later, and the silhouette was gone. Phew, my granddad thought to himself. Thank God there was no one there. He said it was particularly eerie this night, and he just felt on edge. So he started walking again in the direction, and once again a huge clap of thunder, and it illuminated the same silhouette again, but this time even closer. He said he could briefly make out the hat the man was wearing, and also a big jacket, one that went all the way down to the man's feet. All of a sudden, the memories from the man he'd seen years ago came flooding back. Was it the same man, he thought to himself. He didn't know. My grandfather started walking backwards, taking steps back towards the field, rather than the direction to head home. He couldn't make out anything. He said it was pitch black at this point. He had been in the field for longer than he realized, and he should have headed home soon, and his mum would wonder where he was. He decided that he was going to hide behind this barn that was on the other side of the field, so he slowly but surely made his way there. He got there and he hid behind the outside wall. He didn't know where this man was, and he couldn't really hear anything because of the sound of the rain clapping down on the ground. All of a sudden, there was another huge clap of thunder, and once again, he saw the silhouette of the man, but this time standing outside the barn. He could briefly see the silhouette of the man, but he didn't think the man could see him as he was outside the barn. He stayed silent for what felt like hours, but he said it was probably only a few minutes. He was peering between two planks of wood inside the barn. He was on the outside, and he said he had rain dripping down his face. He was trying to be quiet. He said there was a tractor behind him and nothing in the barn on the inside apart from what he thought was farming materials. He stayed there and stayed there, and nothing happened. He thought he must have lost the man. Once again, thunder. And he said this is the most terrifying thing that he ever saw in his life. He saw the man's face on the other side of the planks of wood he was standing on, peering at him through the cracks between the wood. He said his eyes were so wide and almost black, staring straight back at him, with a menacing grin on his face. He turned around and fled as fast as he possibly could. He ran behind the barn, slipping and tripping as he ran. He got back on the path and ran all the way home. He didn't look back, he didn't care to. He just needed to get away from this man. He got in and told his mum about it, and she told him to never go back to those fields again. He said that man haunted his dreams for the rest of his life. Sometimes he would wake up in the middle of the night, 20-30 years later, and he'd see that man's face. He said he never felt easy in his own house, and he always felt like there was always someone watching him. He understands that this is probably just his imagination, but he doesn't understand why, even 30-40 years later, he still sees that man's face just as vivid as he did in that barn on that night. Nothing ever happened in that village, and as far as he's aware, there was no one who lived even remotely close to that field. He doesn't know why that man was there. He doesn't know why he saw him on so many occasions, and why he always seemed to know where he was going. He doesn't even know if this was a man. Was it some kind of ghost? Was it some sort of figment of his imagination? Who was it, and why me? Why did they need to torment me? Before he died, I remember my grandfather opening up about more of these stories, and he actually confessed to seeing this man one more time in his life. However, he said it was much later, and the man hadn't changed. He said he didn't want to go into the story, but he was going to tell me one day. He said that he saw the man whilst living in Norway, and that when he was ready to tell me, he would. Unfortunately, my grandfather died of cancer, and I never got to hear that story. Maybe it's written down somewhere, I don't know. He always kept a diary, and he left them to me, so maybe I can have a read through those and find out more about who this man was. This happened probably only a few years back. Me and my friend John have been friends for life. We grew up together and we lived in the same town. In fact, we lived down the same road. John and I have always been into fitness, and quite often we go for long walks together. This is because we can't make it to the same gym at the same time, and he works different hours to me. But at least 2 or 3 times a week, we try and go on these long cardio walks and just talk. It's a nice way to keep up with each other and also try and get a little bit of our passion for fitness in during the day. We also enjoy fishing, and when we were young, we'd go down to the local river. There's a few lakes and rivers near where we live, but the river was our favorite. Our parents always told us when we were young never to go to the river, so quite often we'd have to try and sneak out and not be seen when we was going to the river. We would jump over the wall and down onto the embankment. Now, this isn't the safest because, of course, we could only do this when the tide was out. And if you know anything about rivers, the tide can go in and out very, very quickly. If you're not on top of it, it can be very dangerous. Our parents would always tell us horror stories of these kids that jumped over and drowned. But of course, we nodded and just pretended to listen. Sometimes we'd go fishing down there, even if just for 30 or 40 minutes. Sometimes you could catch little things like crabs and prawns, but mostly we just liked walking across the river embankment when the tide was out. We were always very careful to be near to a ladder that helps you climb out. But on some stretches of this river, there's only a ladder every 100 meters or so. So if you get caught in between, then you're in trouble. Anyway, we're in our early 20s now, and we hadn't been down to the river for a long time, as we were into different things, but like we say, we still went on these long walks. One day we was on one of these walks, and John said to me, "Hey, how about we go down to the river for old time's sake?" I thought it was a good idea. We hadn't been there for years. It would be quite nostalgic to go back to that spot that we always used to hang out at school. So that's what we did. The next day, we were gonna go for another walk, and I checked the tide, and it was set to be out for at least an hour that day. So we figured out what time was best to go there so we could have the longest period of time walking along the embankment, and we headed out. We hung around that wall for a good 20 minutes before jumping over. This is because when we were young, we didn't give it any thoughts, but nowadays it seemed kind of dangerous. But obviously not as flexible as we were, and my hamstrings aren't great. So when you jump over this wall, there's a small ledge that you need to balance on, and the drop down is probably 10-15 feet, so you really don't want to fall on this. It was also covered in moss, so extremely slippery. But if you shuffle along maybe 5 meters, you get to the ladder that you can climb down. The tide was well out, so we thought we'd be fine. It was getting pretty dark, and we didn't want anyone to see us jumping over, so we waited until it was clear, and we did it. Despite being terrified of falling, we managed it, and we got down to the embankment. We were having a nice, relaxing walk and just walking along when all of a sudden I realized how dark it had got, and I couldn't see where we'd just jumped down from. I didn't say anything, which is my first mistake, but we just kept talking and walking. All of a sudden, I realized I don't know how much time has passed. I turned to John and said, "Hey, John, how long have we been down here?" "I don't know." "Oh, damn, maybe we should head back." I agreed, and we started walking back. Now, as you walk down this river, and whilst the tide is out, it feels as though you're walking in a straight line, but you're not. It actually curls around and bends and loops a little bit. So I didn't know exactly where we were. So as we were coming up to a corner, there was a dim bit of light coming from the moon, and my heart sank. Straight ahead of us, we could see that there was water crashing against one of the walls that we needed to walk round. The tide had come in so quickly that we hadn't realized that it was coming in behind us. We had to get back to where we knew we could get out. We didn't need to say anything to each other, we just started running. We ran as fast as we could, but as we were winding round, we realized that the tide was coming in fast. Now, the currents here are extremely strong, and people have drowned in this river, so we were really scared. Also, the fact that no one knew we were here, and it was extremely dark now. As we got up to the corner, the water was knee high now, and we were trying as fast as we could to get round the corner. We realised that we were probably too far out to get back to our initial spot, so we had to devise a plan. Even though it was only knee to waist height, we felt as though we couldn't move. The current was quite strong and it kept pulling us, and we couldn't really maintain our balance well, and we kept slipping. I decided that we were in trouble here and we needed to call for help. I had a torch on me and I took it out of my pocket and shined it against the wall. I was trying to find anywhere that we could climb up. Maybe there was somewhere that we could just get out quickly here, but no luck. I was flashing my light on and off so people knew we were here, but no one seemed to be around. There was a ledge, probably 7 foot high, that I thought maybe one of us could get up and call for help. I sacrificed myself to stay down so John could get up. So what we did was we got John on my shoulders. This was incredibly difficult in this much water and when it was this dark. I got him on my shoulders where he could grab onto the edge of the ledge and pull himself up. It was incredibly slippery, and it wasn't a straight ledge that was just leveled off. It was kind of on an incline, and he was slipping the entire time, clinging on with his fingers. But he managed to pull himself up and get over the wall. He told me he'd be back, and he was going to go and get some help. So I stood there, not knowing what to do. Do I try and find a ladder to get out of here? The water was rising, and it was stomach height now, and I was being pulled all around. The water was still rising, and it was just above my waist now. I was terrified. I stayed silent and I couldn't hear anyone around. All I could hear was the waves around me crashing. This is where it ends, I thought to myself. My stupidity has got me in this situation. Now I'm going to die here alone. And when I thought all hope was lost, I saw a speedboat coming down the river with its light on. I flashed my torch as, thankfully, I managed to keep it above the water and they came over to me. They dragged me onto the boat and got me ashore. Myself or John brought our phones with us. When John got out, he found a man who called the police for us and they sent out a rescue speedboat. Thankfully they were there in time as the water was above my belly button now and if I was in there much longer, I would definitely have drowned. The police told me I was probably only 15 minutes from drowning. If I'd stayed out there much longer, I would have been pulled in by the current and my chance of survival would have been very low. Thank God they got there in time, and if I'd been out there any longer, I don't think I would have made it. I felt really stupid for this, for putting myself and John in such danger. My message to anyone out there is always let someone know where you're going, and don't jump down onto river embankments. There's a reason that your parents tell you not to. Stay safe, people.